About the matters that are in front of us.
Surah, not Mechutzah. Yeah, all right. Go ahead.
So tomorrow, Mir Hashem, is Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Today is the sixth day of Shvi'i Shel Pesach. One of the things we're talking about is Yizkor. It's interesting that we say Yizkor 4 days a year. I didn't really go over my notes, go back to all the sources. I vaguely remember we once spent a lot of time on Yizkor. Yizkor is a very fascinating topic. What exactly are we trying to accomplish, trying to achieve with Yizkor? And if I vaguely remember that Yizkor originally was not said on all of the Moadim. Yizkor, I think, originally was only said on Yom Kippurim. I think that was the original
In the Otzi Yisrael, it says it was originally for the Shalosh Regalim, not for Yom Kippur.
It's the opposite.
Yeah. Okay, that's what it says.
Could be. All right, I don't remember then. We have to really research this. But I vaguely remember it wasn't meant to be done that often. And right. somehow, which one was first? I don't remember the details. There are probably different opinions. Why? But the bottom line is, today it is universal. I'm assuming there's no different. The whole Klal Yisrael, Yizkor is recited 4 times a year. On Yom Kippurim, Pesach, Sukkos, and Shavuos. The question is, why? Why? What exactly are you coming to accomplish by reciting Yizkor, Elokim es Nishmas, so-and-so, Hashem, you should remember. And why on these 4 days? So I once told you, I once gave a whole an idea that the reason why we say, you know, There's a problem with saying Yizkor. The obvious problem is, and the very obvious question, the Moadim are days of joy. There's joy. Why would you want to think about the dead? For most people who say Yizkor, it's painful. It's a time of tsar. I want to welcome here my niece, Esther. What happened? Oh, they turned. They ran away. They went away. That probably was my nephew using my niece's account. All right, they disappeared. So the question over here is why do we say Yizkor? So the question is, Yizkor is sad. Most people, when they think about their relatives, whoever they're saying Yizkor for, it causes grief. It brings back a lot of painful memories. Okay, we don't have to elaborate. So why would you want to mar the festival with thinking about the dead? What are you doing? So I once told you an idea. I really think there's a lot of truth to this, but there's a problem with it as well, and that is when it says in the pasuk v'samachta b'chagecha, the pasuk makes it very clear. It's not about your joy. It's about the ger, the yosoim, the almana, bonecha, benoisecha, your wife. The obligation to have joy is not for you. It's not about you. Comes Yom Tov, it says there should be simcha. You're the last guy in the world that you should worry about your joy. Your duty is to worry about other people's joy, to make sure that your children, your son and your daughter and your wife, they have joy. Take them on a Chol Hamoed trip. It may be torture for many parents. Going on a Chol Hamoed trip is torture. It's torture to sit in the audience and watch Uncle Moshe. How could, it's Mamash Rachmanis, this guy is in his 60s and he has to go behave like a 2-year-old? It's torture. You know why it's torture? Because we all realize we're also Uncle Moshe in our own little world. It's a torture to go on Chol Hamoed trips and to do all these things. You got to do it because the children, they really enjoy it. Supposedly, they really enjoy it. It's not about you. The joy is for someone else. To make your wife happy. To make your shviga happy. Look at a mayor, he's hiding behind the safe when I said that. It's about making other people happy, not about making yourself happy. And the Torah goes on to say, Hager, the Yosam, the Almana, Hashem said, if you are Misameich, my people, I'll be Misameich, your people. But nowhere does it say that you should make yourself happy. Okay, I know you'll tell me it's not true. You're supposed to eat Besar Kochim and Yain, but that's not the focus. So by extension, you also should make the dead happy. The people in Shemayim, listen, no one ever came back to tell us what's going on over there. No one knows what's going on over there. But if Chazal told us to say Yizkar, it must be they're depressed. The same way we're all depressed here on this world, they are depressed in the other world as well. They got problems there. And when someone thinks about you, it gives you joy. It gives them tremendous sipuk hanefesh. Especially if you say, you know what, in your merit, I will do a good deed. I will give tzedakah. So when we recite Yizkor, you know what we're really doing? You're giving the neshamos simchas yom tov. That's what you're doing. The neshamos in the olam ha'emes, when they sense that someone in this world is thinking about them and is pledging to give tzedakah in their merit or to do a mitzvah, it gives them enormous joy. You have fulfilled the requirement of the moed beyond its boundaries, in addition to giving joy to the people in this world, to your family and to the poor. You're expanding the joy by giving joy to the neshamos in the olam ha'emes, who know that someone is thinking about them. Now that idea to me is very, very dear to my heart. I really believe that idea to be 100% true. There's a problem though with that. And the problem is, why then would you want to do it on Yom HaKippurim? Because on Yom HaKippurim there's no mitzvah of having joy. There's no mitzvah to have joy on Yom HaKippurim. You don't ask for joy. You don't say on Yom HaKippur, we learned yesterday in the afternoon, Sabenu, you don't say, V'yismichu v'cha Yisrael mekadesh shemecha. You don't make that request. There is no mitzvah anywhere in the Torah that a person should have joy on Yom HaKippurim. So how then did Yizkor get to Yom HaKippurim? I vaguely remember, this is now where Mamayevsky said the name of the Oitz Yisrael, but I vaguely remember that some hold that it was just the opposite, that Yizkor first started on Yom Kippur, and then it spread to the Sholosh Regalim. Maybe I'm totally wrong. The Oitz Yisrael is just the opposite. I have no idea. But
what the Oitz Yisrael makes a point of saying is when Yizkor started was from the story of Hanukkah. I told you once that when the people died and they found slumim around their bellies, they weren't sure if they died al kiddush Hashem or they actually accepted Christian, I mean, whatever the religion was, the Yavonim. And so the Chachamim, they were asked to compose a tefillah to remember them for the good, and rather than maybe they died mishrimadim, and they shouldn't. So that's the purpose. Yizkor nishmas avi letova.
Very good.
Maybe he died as a baby. I don't know. That's what
overlook his flaws. Okay.
Overlook his maybe because he was sort of forced to do it. At least give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
That's what it says.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, there are many dimensions. Obviously, there are many, many dimensions. But if this idea that I'm presenting to you is the reason why we are saying Yizkor is in order to give joy to the neshamas, just like you are obligated to give joy to our family and to other people, we are expanding that principle by remembering the neshamas with the neshamas in the next world, the other world, when they sense that people are thinking about them, they are filled with simcha, tremendous simcha, that someone in this world cares about them enough to donate money. To be generous, that's because it's not for saying Yizkor is not a joy for us. Okay, many people who take Yizkor very seriously are very disturbed. They're very disturbed.
Same with the Shalah. The Shalah says the Somachta Pichagecha. He darshens on the pasuk Elamo Adei Hashem. He says This is not, in other words, v'samachta b'chagecha, as long as you realize it's not your yontif, it's elim o'adei Hashem.
Hashem's one.
And that's why he darshens this. And he says, as long as you celebrate yontif in the framework, which I tell you is simcha, that's how you do it. In other words, maybe you don't think this is simcha. I'm telling you, I have rules that you have to abide by. You could enjoy it as long as you follow my rules.
Okay.
So that's the shalom. So, you know, it fits in with what you're saying.
Now, the problem, though, what I'm saying is, it doesn't work for Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur, there's no simcha. So, yeah, you don't have an obligation on Yom Kippur to take your children on a Chol HaMoed trip on Yom Kippur. There's no such thing of simcha. You know, there's no Afikomen presence on Yom Kippur. There's no simcha on Yom Kippur. There's no basar, shlamim. There's no yayin. There's no big day tzivayinim. Everyone's wearing white, a kittel. there's no joy, so therefore it doesn't fit for Yom Kippur. What really fits for Yom Kippur, and this I really want to come to, is we're basically selfish people, and we need merit, and we are invoking Zuchus Avos. On Yom Kippur, we are desperate. We're desperate for Mechilas Avonos. Our lives are on the line. So we say, Yizkor L'kim es nishmas, remember our ancestors. Remember, they were good people. And therefore, we are indirectly invoking Zichus Avos. For what? Mechilas Avonos. Now, that's especially very good for Yom Kippur, because when a person dies, death is the ultimate kapara. So if a person died, they achieved kapara, chazalto, all the different levels of kapara. There's yisurim, and there's this, and there's that, Yom Kippurim, and there's death. Death is the ultimate kapara. So therefore, these are people who have achieved atonement. And therefore, remember them and let us draw from the kapara that they have achieved to ourselves. But what then are you going to say if you're going to go with that avenue, that the reason why we're doing Yizkor is we're using the dead as a tool for benefit? How does it fit into Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos? And the answer is very simple. On Pesach, the Gemara says, there are four Rosh Hashana. On Pesach, Nidoinin al Hatvua. We don't pay much attention to this, but Pesach is a Yom Hadin, Parnasa. How much a person will earn, what will his balance of his bank account look like? This is decided on Pesach. It's a Yom Hadin. And when we are in a time of din, it comes the end of Yom Tov, you know, maybe things aren't so good. Maybe it's not going to be a pleasant, we're going to struggle. Person that struggles parnasa, the pain is real. The daigas of parnasa are all consuming. We don't know what's going to be the next day. How are you going to pay the bills? It's torture. You need tzchusim. And therefore in Pesach, now here's the point. It's a different type of yiskar. If we go with this approach, that we are, it's a selfish approach. I'm not denying that. We're using the dead for our purpose. The dead, they need simcha. What I'm telling you now is the opposite. They don't need us to give them simcha. No one came back to tell us what's going on in the other world. Whatever's going on there is going on there. They're on their own. They have their own entertainment. Whatever they need, they have their own simcha. But we need, we're in trouble. We need merit. Merit. And according to this, what I'm trying to suggest is the attitude a person has when he says Yizkor on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and Yom HaKippur is not the same. For most of us, when you say Yizkor, it's all the same. Whatever a person or people, there are people who think and people don't. If you don't think, you don't think. So big deal. You go to shul, you move your lips, and have a nice day. But there are people out there, I think everyone in this virtual room is on that level, where you think. And when you say Yizkor, what are you supposed to think? You say the words, why now? Why today? Why not tomorrow? What's this all about anyway? So you come to some understanding that, you know, it's proper, it's kibbut avoim. I don't know, you can whatever you want to say, to do yiskar. And it's exactly, you do it four times a year. And what you do on Pesach is exactly the thought process. The ideas that go through your mind on Pesach are identical to the thoughts that go through your mind on Shavuos and Sukkot and Yom Kippurim. Okay, obviously you've matured, a year passes, you matured, you have a deeper appreciation of what Yizkor is, of the Neshama, of who the people were, you're getting older. Okay, but fine, that's all personal. But as far as what it's all about, it's all the same. No, it's not. It's not the same. Pesach, you're invoking the Zuchus for Parnosa. When you look at your relatives and you study their lives, how did they earn a living? Were they honest? They certainly were. But what would you say was unique in the honesty of earning a parnasa that they had that others did not show? Every person has some unique suchos in parnasa. When it comes to Shavuos, nidoinin al peiros ho'ilon, fruit. Now, what is fruit? It doesn't just mean apples and oranges. Peiros means children. That's what peiros always alludes to. Pri bitnecha, the fruit of the womb. How did your parents raise you in a way that is unique, that you can't say about others? Every person has something special. There's a certain event, a certain incident, a certain impression that they made on you that means something to you. That's what you should be thinking about Shavuos, because since on Shavuos you are being judged on your peiros, and you realize that when Yom Tov comes to an end, I am in a lot of trouble because my merit is not enough to get me over the finish line. I need a stimulus check to get me through the month. And that stimulus check is going to come from the Zuchus Avos. What can I draw upon to find that Zuchus? It's a different frame of mind. When it comes to Sukkos, we judge on Geshem. Geshem is Gashmius. Now, how Gashmius is not the same as Tvua. Okay, you have to be, what is the difference? Geshem refers to, how is Geshem different than Tvua, grain? On Pesach, we're judged on the Tvua. On Sukkos, we're judged on Geshem. On Shavuos, we're judged on the Peros. Okay, I don't know. You have to analyze what they symbolize. In my little mind, Geshem and Tvua are the same. Parnasa. So what do you want to say? You want to say Geshem is the opportunities, and Tvua are the results, maybe. Peros, in my mind, refers to future generations, children, refers to accomplishments. Yom Kippurim, mechilas avoinos, forgiveness. So what I'm trying to suggest is that what is the purpose of Yizkor? And what the purpose of Yizkor is going to totally change your attitude. If the purpose of Yizkor is to give them simcha, think about them, wonderful. I believe that to be 100%. There's a dimension that's 100% true. But it's more there. It's multidimensional. There's also stam. So Yizkor Hashem, remember these neshamas. If that's the case, then it's all the same. There's no real difference between Yom Kippurim and Pesach. That's fine. That's also true. But then there's also an element of we're coming to invoke Zuchus Avos for a very specific need. And there are four times a year when we have needs. We're needy people. We need tevuah, peros, geshem, and mechilas avoynes. And when we look up to the previous generation who was challenged in their lives with these four elements, and they prevailed, and they were oymed in the nesiyonos that life presents regarding these issues, and we know about it, and it made an impression on us. That's what you think about for Yizkor. It's a different Yizkor. The Yizkor of Pesach is not the Yizkor for Shavuos. Okay, let's leave that. Let's go to a new idea. Tomorrow, Shvi'i Shel Pesach, it is extremely unique this year. Whenever Erev Pesach, Shechal Yais v'Shabbos, you know what's really unique about Erev Pesach, Shechal Yais v'Shabbos? This is what people should be talking about. I'm not a rabbi, Baruch Hashem, but it's all about Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, Shechal Yais v'Shabbos. That's Bubkis relative to tomorrow. When Erev Pesach is Shchal Yos B'Shabbos, it means that Shvi'i Shel Pesach coincides with Shabbos. That's dynamite. That is a hydrogen bomb. That is explosive. Why is that explosive? Because what are we going to read tomorrow in the Beis HaKnesses or the Bet HaMedrash? What are we going to read tomorrow? Three Shiros. A shira from the Torah, a shira from the Nevi'im, and a shira from the Ksuvim. Tomorrow we lain Oz Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. Shvi'i Shel Pesach. That's what happened. Kriyas Yamsuf. Oz Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. Es Hashira Zos Lashem. Vayomru Leim. Ashir Lashem Ki Go'o Go'o. Before we actually lain Shiras Yam, we lain Shir Hashirim. Shvi'i Shel Pesach, there's no Chalamoid this year. Ordinarily, we lain Shir Hashirim and Chalamoid. Shabbos Chalamoid. There is no Shabbos Chalamoid. So when do we lain Shir Hashirim? We lain it on Shabbos, no matter what. On Shvi'i Shel Pesach, we lain Shir Hashirim. Asher L'Shlomo. This song is Kodesh HaKodoshim. Okay, Kol Hashirah is Kodesh. The Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kodoshim. The Mashal, this intense love story. Okay, it's rated R. This Shira. You're not even allowed to translate it. It's Mamish. I'm shocked that in the Haredi world, they didn't in the Haredi world, this should have been censored. Some of the words that it says there. You can't even translate. It's literally, you know, Gentech, the filter on the computers, every time you type in Shir Hashirim, it should. This site has been blocked by Gentech. Okay, you know the tag, the Haredi world. If you don't have a filter on your computer, the Haredi police will hang you by your toenails. Whenever you type in Shir Hashirim on Google, you know, the filter should censor the whole Shira. It's this intense love struggle. A frustrating relationship between the Chosin and the Kala. The Chosin being Hashem and the Kala being Klal Yisrael. It's the Mashal. Chazal described this song to be Kol Hashiros Kodesh V'Shir Hashirim Kodesh Kodoshim. And then after we lay in these two Shiros, we come to the Haftarah. What do we lay in? Shiras David. At the very end of Sefer Shmuel, there's this very elaborate, it's a very long and difficult Haftarah. The person who lays Haftarah has to know what he's saying. This is not simple stuff, and especially if you learn it from Klaf, you're going to be up the whole night preparing this. This is hard stuff. Shiras David. In fact, Shiras David is repeated almost word for word in Sefer Tehillim. There are a few different adjustments. Like we know, every say in Birchas Hamazon, is it Magdil or Migdol? In the version of Tehillim, it's Magdil. In the version of David, Shiras David, it's Migdol. Migdol Yeshua Smalka. Okay, so we have It's there are more. There are whole collection. There are a few changes. Not the only change, but it's a third shira. Unbelievable. We have the Chut HaMeshulash, a shira from the Torah, a shira from the Nevi'im, and a shira from the Ksuvim. Torah has its uniqueness. The Nevi'im have a unique flavor, and the Ksuvim have a unique shira. Hashirim is from the Ksuvim. We're learning tomorrow a shira from the Torah, a shira from the Nevi'im, and a shira from the Ksuvim. V'achut HaMeshulash Loy b'mehera yinotik. It is the totality. It is the shleimus of shira. You put together all the totality of what shira can be all in one Shabbos. The only time that this is possible to happen is when Shvi Shel Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Because if Shvi Shel Pesach does not fall out on Shabbos, you're not going to be learning Shira Shirim. And Shvi Shel Pesach only falls out on Shabbos when it's Erev Pesach, Shechal Yes B'Shabbos. So therefore, I would suggest that all of the people, the Darshanim, the Rabbanim, they say, this year is a very special year. You have to take note. Erev Pesach, Shechal Yes B'Shabbos. The egg matzah, the chametz, davening early in the morning, the whole spiel, right? The whole spiel. That's bubkis relative to what's going to happen tomorrow, when you're gonna have an experience of reading and listening to the totality of shira. And guess what else are you going to do? You're going to say halal. At the same time, Chatzi Halal, and you're going to say Nishmas, Imsuke de Zimra, and you're going to say the Halal HaGodol of Hoidu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto. Do you realize how many forms of Halal come together tomorrow? It's unbelievable. In one shot. It's remarkable. Halal HaGodol, Nishmas, Shir Hashirim, Oz Yashir, Shiras David, Pilei Ploim. Now, I want to go a little bit further. I want to suggest an idea. So right away, off the bat, you can sit and you can debate, you can discuss this the whole day. What exactly is the difference between Oz Yashir, Shiras Shirim, and Shiras David? So you can say a million things. You'll say, well, let's see. Oz Yashir is Moshe. Shiras Shirim is Shlomo. Shiras David is David. Oh, we got three people. Bring them down. Like the price is right. Come on down from the audience. We have over here three people. Shlomo, David, Moshe. Now we can do a psychoanalysis. Who is Moshe? Who is David? Who is Shlomo? What's the difference between them? What was their life experience? What was their upbringing? What was their purpose in life? What was their goal? What was their accomplishments? Ah, when we'll understand who was Moshe, Shlomo, and David, then we'll understand the Shira. Okay, that's an approach. Okay, that's definitely Choymer Lidrush. Then we can take another approach, like we said in the beginning. Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. What is the difference between these three sections of the Bible? What's the difference? Well, you'll understand the difference between the section of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Then you'll understand the difference between these three. I know there are women listening, so I have to be careful. I'll make the joke, but I'm not going to say the end of the joke. When it comes to pizza, when you will know why, when you'll figure out why pizza is round, put in a square box, and cut in triangles, then you'll understand blank. Ha-meivin yavin. Misha meivin meivin. Misha lo meivin. Hu lo meivin li'olam. But what's the difference between these three different elements, these three elements of Torah? Okay, you can darsh, you can go down that path. If you want, you can talk about Shiras Moshe. It was a historical event. That's what it was, historical event. For who? for the Tzibur, for Klal Yisrael. David, it was an historical event for an individual. David HaMelech, he is recalling, he is reflecting upon his personal life experiences and is singing Shira. What is Shira Shirim? None of the above. It's not an historical event of a Tzibur. It's not an historical event of a Yachid. It's a mashal. V'Hashem in Klal Yisrael. It's a whole different approach. A mashal. It's a dogma. Whole different approach. Okay? I already gave you three different approaches to try to figure out. And each one, I don't know, each one demands its own PhD. You have to sit and understand to figure out and then try to figure out what's exactly the difference. But I want to suggest to you focus something different now, very briefly. And that demands a little bit of an apology, because what I'm saying is not 100% accurate according to all opinions. If you will go to a shul tomorrow that has klaf, has a set of Nevi'im, and they will be reading, Shiras David from a Sefer Shmuel. In all likelihood, when you open up the Sefer Shmuel, you look inside, you will notice that the way Shiras David is written is identical in form to Oz Yashir, to Shiras Hayam. What I mean by that is, it's written Oriach Al Gabe Levena. There are blank spaces. It looks like bricks. There are two lines on top, and then there's a line in the middle, followed by two broken lines on the side, followed by the next one. You have a segment of text in the center. It looks like bricks have been neatly arranged. That is universal. There's nothing to talk about. That's exactly the way Shiras Yashir is written. It's written, there's empty space in between the different expressions, and the way the words are laid out on the page, on the parchment, is the image of bricks. A half a brick on top of a full brick. Or riach al gabe levena. In orderly fashion. Everyone knows, everyone's seen the Sefer Torah, everyone sees a tikkun, everyone knows what it looks like. Fine. What about Shir HaShirim? How is that written, by the way, Shir HaShirim? Shir HaShirim is written as a continuous stream of text. There is nothing special. Okay, there is a Parsha Psucha, Parsha Stuma. Okay, I don't even remember, but it's just basically ordinary. There's nothing special the way Shir HaShirim is written. What about Shiras David? So if you'll go tomorrow to shul, you'll notice that if you have a klaf, the way it's written in most of the klafim of Sefer Shmuel is the same way they write Oz Yashir, or Riach Al Gabe Levena. Now the problem is about, I don't know how many years ago it was, it became very clear to the public that in the Aleppo Codex, which was stored and kept under lock and key in Aleppo in Syria by the Arabs. Supposedly, this Aleppo Codex was the Bible that the Rambam used to write his own personal Sefer Torah. It was accepted as being the most authentic text of the Masorah, which includes in the Aleppo Codex, it includes not just the spelling of the words. It includes the nikud, the dots. Is it zecher or zecher? And not just that, the psuchos and the stumos. The way, when should there be a new parasha? When should there be a continuation of the old parasha? And what else? What's very fascinating is how to write the shira. In the Aleppo Codex, Shiras David is not written Oriach al Gabi Levena. Shiras David is laid out on the page the same way Hazinu is laid out on the page, the same way the Aseres B'nei Haman are laid out. Two columns. That's the way it was laid out. And indeed, there's a very big machlekes apoiskim. If today, when Soifrim write new Sefarim on parchment, if they should follow the tradition, then most of us have in our Aron HaKodesh where Shiras David is written the same way Oz Yosher is written, is presented, is laid out on the page, or if the Soifrim should do the way it's done in the Aleppo Codex. And today it's known, there are two opinions. Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, he holds that you should follow the Aleppo Codex. He holds that what we have in our Aron HaKodesh is a very weak tradition. The Torah, yes, the Torah, don't tamper with the Torah. But for the Nevim and the Ksuvim, what we have is very, very weak. And if we have the Aleppo Codex, we could assume it's the real deal, that this is what the Rambam used, and it's the most authentic edition of the Bible that we have available. And we should follow the way it's preserved. The Psucha is the Stuma is the tradition of how to pronounce the words, the letters, and when it comes to the Shira, Shiras David shall be written in two columns. Rabbi Yashiv, his father-in-law, disagrees. Rabbi Yashiv Tzaglevar, he held no. It's very nice what we find in Syria, locked up under lock and key by the Arabs, which we had very little access to for generations. If in the Aron HaKodesh it's written Ariach Rabbi Levena, don't change your tradition. Just keep on doing what you have been doing. So it became today known as Minhag Yerushalayim verse Minhag B'nei Barak. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is in B'nei Barak. So the Soifrim in B'nei Barak, they do what Rav Chaim Kanievsky tells them to do. He told them, write all the new Nevi'im like the Aleppo Codex. Shiras David, two columns. Like Haman, like Aseres B'nei Haman, and like Hazinu. In Yerushalayim, the Soifrim, they followed the Psak of Rabbi Yashiv. Don't change anything. Do it the way you've been doing it, the way our tradition is. Okay, the Aleppo Codex says otherwise. All right, so it says otherwise. The Mesorah also counts for something. Our parents didn't lie to us. Our grandparents didn't lie to us. We have a question. We have a difficulty in regarding many of the contradictions. They're not totally contradictions, but we have a question. Okay, we have a question. Some, in fact, even question if the Aleppo Codex is even really what the Rambam used. Some even challenge that. That's a very weak minority to say that's accepted, whatever it is. There are two traditions. I know in Chaim Berlin, they bought a whole new, they didn't even know what they were buying. I told you this many times, they don't even know what they were buying. Someone, they purchased an entirely new set because their what they had, it was very old. And they didn't even know what they were buying. And they ended up buying from B'nai Barak, the Minhag B'nai Barak, where, you know, the Aleppo Codex version. And there are a lot of differences. A lot of differences in how the Nevi'im, how the words are laid out on the page. And this is one of the major differences. So I want now to work with that approach that we're now going to be following the Aleppo Codex version, the B'nai Barak version. And that comes now, that when we focus on that, we come away that tomorrow, on this very unique day, when we're going to be learning from three different Shiras, if we want to delve in to understand the difference between the Shirois, we have a tool, we have data, we have something that we can use to make this analysis. Shiras Hayam is presented on the page in the form of Oriach Al Gabe Levena, bricks. Shiras Shirim is laid out on the page as a continuous flow of text. There is nothing special. It's just words. Nothing special. I think it's five columns. It's 117 psukim. Just regular. Shiras David are two columns. It's the words, the letters are put on the page as two columns. The way you put the letters on the parchment, that itself is a statement. That itself speaks volumes as to what the shir is all about. Now let's look at Shiras Hayam. Shiras Hayam is structured. It's bricks. You're building something. It is a song that captures this architecture. There is a plan. There is a goal. There is a foundation. Everything has to be in place in order to support what comes on top of it. There is precision. It's not just a song. It is a song that captures the foundation, the structure of Klal Yisrael. Shir HaShirim is not the blueprints. It's not a blueprints. This is not a structure. Shir HaShirim is a natural expression. I'm suggesting, you can say whatever you want. I'm just laying out some ideas, you know, some basic facts, and obviously you can use this to. I don't have clarity. I'm just trying to speak out what we have, and you can expand upon this on your own. But Shir HaShirim, it's a song. We're not trying with Shir HaShirim to create something. We're not trying to build. It's not a song that we're going to use this song as a springboard to structure Ganz Klal Yisrael. It's a statement of fact. It is an expression of joy, that of song, where we burst forth with song, acknowledging our relationship with Hashem. What about Shiras David? Shiras David is very interesting because it's two columns. Chazal are very good to us. They told us, when you write something in such a fashion, you got a big problem. Where do they tell us this? With regard to the Aseres B'nei Haman. The Gemara Megillah says, why in the world are the Aseres B'nei Haman written in such a bizarre fashion? Why does it say, Chamesh Me'osis Es Pashen Dosavis, Dalvis Asposavis, whatever, I forgot all the 10 names. Why do you write all those 10 names in one column and on the other column, ace, 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 ace? Why? Why are you doing that? 11 lines. And those 11 lines create a nightmare. It creates a nightmare because it says in the Gemara that it has to be on the top. The Grumigil, everyone knows that the Grumigil, since the Aseres, are 11 lines. So the whole Megillah has to be 11 lines. Really? That's a very long Megillah. And, okay, whatever. It's 11 lines. Why? Why are we doing this? So the Gemara says, Shaloi Tehe Tukuma for the enemies of the Jewish people. Such a structure cannot be maintained, cannot endure. If you go take your Lego bricks and you go make higher and higher, it will collapse. This cannot endure. You cannot go make a structure where you pile bricks one on top of the other. Maybe you can pile one of three bricks, maybe four, maybe five, but you get to a certain point where the laws of engineering, the laws of physics, do not allow this structure to endure. It will collapse. That's exactly the point. When we mention the 10 sons of Haman, we don't want them. We want to eliminate them. We want to obliterate them. There is no love for them. This is not a matter of a discrimination. That's right, we're racist. Get rid of them. This is an inferior race. Amalek. They are inferior people. They are wicked people. They have to be eliminated. 100%. No excuses. That's what it says. Timcha zech Amalek. I'm embarrassed to say, do what it says in the Torah. So therefore, we want to show that these people, we will discriminate against them and we will eliminate them by arranging them in a stack so they're going to collapse. If that's the case, why would you want to do that for Shiras David and for even Hazinu? Hazinu is also written in that fashion. So I don't know. I didn't see anywhere they gave an answer, but I'm just suggesting on my own. Most of Hazinu is not very pleasant. Most of Hazinu, we call it a song. Why do we call Hazinu a song? It goes to show we don't really know what a song, what the word song really means. But Hazinu is the Toichacha. Chazal say it. I think there are four Toichachas in the Torah. There is Toicha of Bichu Koisai, Kisavoi, then of Netzavim, and Hazinu. This is not a song. It says there are things, the most horrific things, what it says in Hazinu. So I'm guessing that because we do not want the Toichacha to endure, the curses that it says there in Hazinu are so harsh, we want to be done with it already. So it's arranged in such a way that it should collapse, that we should not, Rachmana Litzlan, have to deal with this. Is that correct? I don't know. But now we come to Shiras David, and we got a big problem. Because Shiras David is not Toichacha. When it comes to Hazinu, I think it's an easy way out. It's not really, it's not a song in the classic translation. It's more of a Musar. It's Toichacha, worse than Musar, it's punishments. So, if it can collapse, Adarabba, that would be wonderful. But when it comes to Shiras David, it's not Toichacha. Shiras David is an incredibly eloquent, powerful expression of song, of Hoidah. Why in the world would you want to arrange it in such a fashion where it's going to collapse? So I don't have a good answer, but I want to suggest that that's exactly the point. A person has a duty in this world to do things above and beyond what he knows are sustainable or are possible. You have to do your hishtadlus even to achieve the impossible. Now, that's a very dangerous thing to say. That's a very dangerous way to live your life. Right? You can't go live your life, oh, I'm not going to go to get a job. I'm going to go to Kollel and my father was going to support me. That's a foolish, foolish thing to live a life like that without making calculations. Yet, in certain dimensions of our life as Orthodox Jews, we have to do it anyway. Again, the balance is a very dangerous thing, what I'm saying. The balance, where's the balance? I don't know where the balance is. I certainly don't know. It's not a simple thing. But there are elements in Klal Yisrael that are clearly not sustainable. And yet here we are today. What is Pesach all about? Lechtech acharai bamidbar bi'eretz lo zerua. You know what that means? Suicide. What are you out of your mind? You're going to go into the desert? Into Saudi Arabia? Into windstorms? There's no water? There's no shelter? There is temperatures of 130 degrees? 3 million people? You got to be out of your mind. This is suicide. You're going to jump into the Yam? Oh, don't worry. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Yeah. Just jump in. Jump into the Mediterranean. Jump in. Or dump into whichever yam, whatever water it was. Really. Just jump in. Really. That's called suicide. What do you do? Eretz Yisrael today, when the state of Israel was established in 1948, there wasn't a living person from the outside of Klal Yisrael that didn't say that the Jewish people are suicidal. Out of your mind? You're going to make a state in the Middle East, a teeny little state, a couple of Yidlach who survived the Holocaust, surrounded by a billion Arabs that want to eat you alive? You're out of your mind? What are you thinking? I don't know. There is an element in Klal Yisrael of you have to do things that are indeed not sustainable and just have faith. If this is what Hashem wants from you, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. You'll survive. And we're very lucky because we have the proof. We have countless examples of in the history of Klal Yisrael where that's exactly what happened. The existence of Klal Yisrael today is a reality, a fact that broke all the rules, and here we are. Here we are. It's not to be believed. I heard Rabbi Ryan. I told this to Rabbi Ryan before Pesach. He spoke. Rabbi Ryan was very, very, very much. He was working with the Aguda. I told you this. They were doing things that were very not traditional for the Aguda. The fight with the government. Knowing the Aguda, they're very passive. They're very nice to the government. They play by the book, by the rules. They don't make trouble. Always very, and here the Aguda, they sued the state. A lot of people were very upset. The Aguda, very upset. Don't, it's not the time now to take them to court. There's a pandemic. Listen, none of my business. I'm not a bar dasia. I'm just telling you what he said. He was very much in the opinion, things are not right, are not the way, and we have to do things unconventionally. So he said, the whole year has gone by. Whole year has gone by. And basically the yeshivas that he represents have not missed a day. Starting Labor Day until Pesach, they have not missed a day. The yeshivas were open every single day. Starting Labor Day. They were closed last year, Purim, to the end of the year. And he said the parents were chalashing to get the students, the children back to school. The rebbeim were chalashing to come back and teach. And even the students, the tinaiko shalbei shalom, they also wanted to come back to yeshiva. So the government said, no, you can't. There's a pandemic. Listen, I'm not a doctor. They believed parents, the rebbeim, the students, it can be done in a safe way that will not jeopardize after everything they have learned from Purim till the end of the year. They felt they were responsible. They had an approach, a plan. Again, don't shoot the messenger here. And they proceeded. They proceeded, they worked with the government most of the time, and when they had trouble, they fought with them. Don't ask, don't tell. And he said, now it's Pesach, and it's Chasdei Hashem, Baruch Hashem. In all of the yeshivas that he represents, no one, not even one Rebbe, he claims in his network, got sick to the degree where they were hospitalized. No one was hospitalized, not even one Rebbe. Everyone, he says, Baruch Hashem, and their whole network, that is totally fine. And the public schools, they're still closed. They're still closed. They're not interested. The teachers don't want to come. The government doesn't want them to open. And the students don't want to come either. And what are they doing the whole day? It's a churban she'en kamo. Oh, but it's not sustainable. This whole thing, according to the government, well, out of your mind, you can get suicidal. Well, that's not suicidal. We know we've learned quite a bit from Purim until Labor Day, what we can do, precautions, and if something goes wrong, how to shut it down in an instant. Incredible. It's mind-boggling. Mika Amcha Yisrael. They wouldn't close one day, full yeshiva, like everything. And Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, Chasdei Hashem. They survived. Bli Ayin Hara, Halavai Vayter. There are many different examples that in Klal Yisrael, there is this koyach to do things of lechtech acharai ba midbar bi eretz lo zeruah. It's a dangerous game, obviously. I don't make the rules, but it's a dangerous game, and you need big smart people to know when to do and not to do. But it's a fact. That's exactly what Shiras David is all about. It is a song of praise to Hashem, of accomplishment in striving to achieve the impossible. The structure of the Shira is not sustainable. You can't go have two columns. The Gemara says this. Aseres b'nei Haman cannot be. The reason why is because we want it to collapse. We want it to collapse. It has to collapse. Yet we employ that same technique when it comes to Shiras David, when David reflects his life. My whole life was unsustainable. It was impossible. Every step of the way of my existence doesn't make any sense. It was totally unsustainable. It was unpredictable. And I achieved the impossible. And for that, I give Shira to Hashem. It is a Shira that is presented, acknowledging the impossibility of what I have achieved. So Sach HaKol on Shvi Yishlo Pesach, it's a very unique day where we enter into this day with a trio, a Chut HaMeshulash, Shira Sayan. It's perfectly structured to perfection. The best engineers have come and leveled the foundation. Every brick, like you watch them put bricks, they're always the leveler. Perfect, 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 perfect. One brick is off, even a mashu. And when you get up, it's going to look like what's it called in Paris? The Tower of Pisa. You don't want that. Shira Sayam. Perfect. It represents in Klal Yisrael the responsibility to plan, to build with responsibility. And then the Shiras David, an acknowledgement of success in striving to achieve the impossible. And then there's Shiras Shirim Asher L'Shloimo. This song in just ordinary life, in ordinary life, in ordinary events, it's just going through life. There's a relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's what to thank Hashem for the ordinary, not just planning in the future, not just achieving the impossible. You have to thank Hashem, the Sing Shira, just having our struggle. No, Shir Hashirim is a very painful song. It talks, it's all about frustration. It's like Shaduchim. The boy doesn't like, the girl doesn't want. Now the girl wants, but the boy got insulted, he changed his mind. It's like a classic Shidduch story. The Shadchan calling, this guy's insulted, the boy's insulted, the girl's insulted. He says, okay, I'll go out a second time. It's just the ordinary. The ordinary frustrations of life. There's also, it's Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Shira in that expression is equal as well. It's Kodesh. This is the Shleimos of the Shira. The uniqueness of this year, of Shri Yishlo Pesach and Shabbos, brings us out. Rabbi Yisrael, thank you for coming and learning with me. Have a wonderful Shvi Shel Pesach and Acharon Shel Pesach, and Mirtz Hashem will come back together Monday morning. Monday morning at 9:30. The last time I came on time, make a kiddush shall come on time. 9:30, Mirtz Hashem, Monday morning. See you all then. Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos, a good Boyd, a good Yom Tif. Chag Kosher v'Sameach.
Rabbi Levine, the Hazinu, the two columns, it's not like in the Megillah, because the two columns are phrases in one column and phrases in the other column. In the Megillah, it's one word.
Word,
one
right,
word.
Okay.
That's so, more like the kings of...
Right, Canaan. The 31 kings of Canaan, right, right.
That's much less stable.
Right, less stable, correct, okay.
That Kiras David is phrases...
Also, it's like Hazinu.
Much more stable.
Right. It's more stable, but it's not nearly as stable as Orich Gabi Levena or regular. Not nearly. You can only go that high. Even with the phrases, you only can go that high. Shiras Hayam, you can go unlimited. Shiras Shirim, you can go very high. Not unlimited. You can go to a certain point. Shiras David, you can go to a point, but less. Less. All right, just an idea. It's just an idea to work with.
Really? That's what you want to do on a dirt road? You want to just pass everybody? Fucker.
Okay, everybody, have a good splitting.
A good Kriyas Yamsa. There's a school for Shaduchim, Parnasa.
Rabbi Fryan, she didn't call me back.
Oh, you know, I forgot to speak to her.
You did it on purpose.
No,
didn't
I didn't.
Forget.
I came home very late. I came home very late. I didn't see her.
She was asleep. She wasn't asleep.
I'll call her right now. I'll call her right now.
Okay.
All right. What?
Okay, everybody.
Okay, I say, have a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov. Be well. Be well.
Rabbi Levine, thank you so much for the shurim, the shuntum this past year.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
To keep doing it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your thank you.
Yeah, would it be possible to get the copy today's shir? I missed part of it.
Okay. I'll try to send
you
right
so
away.
Much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.